What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The underdog's on top, and I'm not going to stop until my heart stops, which doesn't make sense. I don't know if that's my microphone or my throat. Either way, it is. I don't know what that sound is. It's not me. It's the microphone.
I think you sound fine. Just go, and you'll be ready to go on this What Is Red Friday here in New Orleans, Louisiana.
National Wear Red Day today.
How about that? What are the odds? Today is National Wear Red Day. We don't make it up. We don't make it up. We look at the National Day calendar, and the Friday before the Super Bowl where the Chiefs are getting ready to threepeat is National Wear Red Day? You got to be kidding
and
me.
And you have a brand new shirt.
Got a brand new shirt. Got this one last night. Can you see it? You got to fight for your right to threepeat, baby.
You got to
fight for your right to threepeat, and that's what we're doing today.
Stole it right out of Pat Riley's closet.
Yeah, that is true. I did do that, didn't I? Yeah. Pat Riley's going to make $180 million off the Super Bowl if the Chiefs three-peat. Can you believe that? Who wins the Super Bowl? Pat Riley wins the Super Bowl if the Chiefs win.
Well, if the Chiefs win.
Yep.
Which they should. We don't have any doubt. We have all full belief that the Chiefs will win. It is a last Red Friday of the year. It is the Friday before the big game or the Friday before the Super Bowl. Fesco, Dusty, and Mac here live from Radio Row from One Last Day, and we are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. Nathan, you ready to fire this place up, ready to fire that crowd up, all those listeners driving to work that hate to go to work today? Play that Frank Clark audio.
We know the only way that's going to win the game, that's running the ball. The quarterback not good enough to win the game passing. And we exposed all that. Anytime you run for 80 yards, you call yourself the leading running back. They call themselves, they hype Henry up and do all this for him, man. Say what they're going to do to us. Say we the 26th ranked defense in the league. And all we do is continue to prove to them who the baddest motherfucking planet are.
You shut him down today. How did you guys do that?
Because we the baddest motherfucking in the planet.
Now you got one more in you to win it for Andy. How important is it to win for Andy?
It's more important to win that for our owner, Clark Hunt Trophy. We're going to win it for, I said more important. Sorry, scratch that.
I got what you mean, man.
Man, it's more important just for us as a team, not just for Andy as a coach. No disrespect, but for the team. All that matters is the team, and that's all we've been thriving on all season is the team. Team first, everything goes second.
And you were hurt, man, like the beginning of the year, week 11, you finally get healthy and get out here. How much of it is like redemption for you to go, I knew I could go out there and play like that?
Because I know I am. I know what I'm capable of doing. At the end of the day, I told him. After week 6, I told him what was going on with my body. My body was breaking down. I didn't know what was going on, you know. You just pray everything goes right. You know, I go out, get checked by doctors. My doctors tell me I shouldn't even play for the rest of the season. They tell me I need to get surgery, stop playing before I hurt something, you know, down the road for a longer term. At the end of the day, man, I trusted my doctors here at the Chiefs. I trusted everything they was telling me. Like I said, Rick Burkhalter, the greatest staff on the planet. They told me that I was able to do it. I trusted them. Man, they put me on a great plan, and I come out here and I finish probably, some would say one of the best second halves of the season you can ever play in 10 games.
I asked Ty the same thing I'll ask you again. How good's that quarterback, man?
You said Pat Mahomes?
Yeah.
MVP Pat? You said the illest motherfucker, Pat Mahomes? Come on, man. Pat, we trust. Like I said from day one, when Pat Mahomes is your quarterback, you don't have no worries, no fears, no doubt. As a defense, all you got to do is step up on your own and win the game. Pat Mahomes, man, what's quarterback rating? What was it, 365 yards rushing, 300 yards passing? That's 365 yards, 130 quarterback rating, no interceptions, I think 3 or 4 touchdowns. Come on, man. I'd drop every staff of Pat Mahomes if I have to. Pat Mahomes is the greatest quarterback in the world, don't add me.
There it is, Frank Clark with me after beating the Tennessee Titans in the first AFC championship game. And I just thought that was pretty apropos to bring to the table today, because going into that game all week long, we were told they couldn't stop Derrick Henry. And the topic of conversation all effing week in New Orleans was, we can't stop Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley's going to run. And that was Frank Clark right there telling you the Chiefs on that day were the baddest mother effers on planet Earth. And you know what's going to happen on Sunday? They're going to be the baddest mother effers on planet Earth, and Saquon Barkley is going to be stopped just like they stopped Derrick Henry back in 2020.
Yeah, it's kind of annoying. Every day we come through here, and we get louder and louder with our Chiefs gear. Today, jersey of Patrick Mahomes. Today, you have the three-peat shirt. Mac has the red polo and all the beads. It looks like he's collected 15 different pair of, you know what, almost did it on the air.
Right.
The thing is like, today we walked in, the guy's like, hey, I just want to let you know the Chiefs aren't winning on Sunday. I said, oh, okay, why do you think that? I don't know. I just think it's Saquon's time. I go, that's awesome.
Spectre was at the door?
And then he goes, I can't respect a quarterback who puts ketchup on everything.
Okay.
So I said, oh, that's your one thing. I said, that's cute. I said, good luck on Sunday afternoon. He goes, why? He goes, I said, Monday's going to suck if you really think that Saquon Barkley and the Eagles are going to win. I just don't think when you see this team like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, I don't know why you can. I don't know who you are. I don't know why you are, but I don't know what you would be thinking to go against them. Every single year outside of one, they've won the Super Bowl. The one year they didn't, they were completely beaten up on the offensive line, the protector factor of Patrick Mahomes. This Chiefs team going into this game is healthy as they can possibly be. In fact, the only person not being able to play, two, I guess, Mecole Hardman and Rashee Rice. Obviously, Rashee Rice goes out in week four. Can't do anything about that with the leg injury that took him out the rest of the season, but everybody else back, everybody else healthy. This is Friday. The game is Sunday. We have one more sleep, I guess two more sleeps, until this game gets played. And look, I walk around yesterday. I listen to all the national media. So I listen to Pat McAfee and Greeny's on there. And he's talking about how Jalen Hurts hasn't thrown a turnover. He's only thrown three turnovers since like week five. Patrick Mahomes hasn't had a turnover since week 11. The Chiefs haven't turned the ball over in the playoffs. The Chiefs have a winning streak in the playoffs. The rookies that played on this team 2 years ago have yet to lose in the playoffs. They play the Eagles, who I think will be a little numb, who I think will be a little shocked. We heard yesterday at their press conference they were a little, their PR staff is getting really cranky and really angry. Normally it's ours. It gets them a little bit in and out. It was the Chiefs people, the Chiefs players that were all cool, calm, and collected that were like, yeah, it's fine. We'll do this. It'll be okay. Thank you very much. Have a great day. We'll see you on Sunday. How you doing? We're going for a Super Bowl. We're going for a three-peat. Chiefs over the Eagles by 35-17.
Yeah, well, it's when you sit back and you kind of assess this entire game. And if you're still thinking that Philadelphia is going to win this game, A, you just don't want to see the Kansas City Chiefs win, so you're trying to create reasons why the Chiefs can't win this football game. Or number two, you're just dense and you don't understand what this team has been through over the last couple of years. To me, everybody should be thinking that the Chiefs are going to win this football game, and if the Philadelphia Eagles win, it should be looked at as a major upset in the NFL. I know it's only 1.5. I don't care. The Chiefs, in my opinion, are the favorite going into this game. They have everything to play for. They have everything to lose, quite frankly, in this game. Philadelphia should be coming into this game playing free and clear. They don't have anything to lose. They've got everything to gain in this football game, but that's not the way it's going to be played. It's going to be played like the Kansas City Chiefs play every playoff game. They're going to be the ones that are playing and free and relaxed and clear and easy to go because they've been there. They have that mindset. They've won two in a row. They're a veteran team. They got the coolest MF-er playing quarterback that's ever played this side of Joe Montana. They got the best head coach in the NFL standing on the sidelines that's cool, calm, and collected. And just talking to players over the last couple of days, former players, current players that have been in the National Football League and are in the National Football League, they all talk about the calmness of Andy Reid, and that's why he's so good. So if the Chiefs get down 7-0 early, there's no panic. There's no freak out. There's no, oh my God, what are we going to do? Philadelphia Eagles fall down by two scores early on in this game. Nick Sirianni's yelling at Eagle fans. He's punching Big Dom. He's trying to do things that he's not capable of doing. He'll get out of himself. And that will ultimately end up costing the Philadelphia Eagles in this one. I can't wait for this game to get played. I can't wait to smack them in the face. I can't wait to see Saquon Barkley held down and not be able to do the damage that everybody thinks he's going to be able to do. Because when you doubt the Chiefs, as Mitch Holthus says, you're a fool. I know he doesn't say it quite like that, but it's pretty much what Mitch Holta says. You can doubt the Chiefs, you can disrespect the Chiefs, but you do have to deal with the Chiefs, and you got to deal with the Chiefs winning a third Super Bowl. You got to deal with Red Friday, National Wear Red Day. We're coming for you, Philadelphia. We're kicking that Saquon Barkley ass, and we're doing it on Sunday at the Superdome.
Saquon Barkley.
That's right.
That's what Hugh Douglas calls him. He did it three times yesterday when he did Let's Live.
He's doing it all over the country. Saquon Barkley is That's what he's saying. Yes.
No, loaded show today. Dan Orlovsky, Diana Rossini, maybe John Gruden. We've got Brian Baldinger. We've got many others. Greg Olson all joining us today here on Radio Row. So don't forget, Dusty, everyone wants to know, have you met your future wife, Kay Adams, yet? If not, the trip is a fail. We're working on it. We got one day left. We got one day left, but she's hard. She's hard to get a hold of. She goes back in her little tent. She's private. It's tough to get a hold of her. You can ask Matt. She's very private. And I'm not a creep. I'm not Radiohead. I'm not getting out my Shazam and making it sound like a squirrel like one Bob Fesco did and thought there were squirrels in the gutters. But I'll tell you this. Sunday can't get here soon enough. I'm tired of it. I hate it. All these little fools that work out of the front. This guy was 37 years old, still had earrings, ain't done. Trying to tell me that the Eagles are going to win because Patrick Mahomes puts a ketchup on everything. That's where we're at.
That's right.
That's where we're at. By the way, folks, that's where we're at in Philadelphia. They hate the Chiefs because they put ketchup on everything. They got nothing else. The refs have ran its course. The voice of Mahomes has ran its course. Taylor Swift being annoying to them has ran its course. Now, they don't like the Chiefs because their quarterback puts ketchup on everything. Very lame, very sick excuse. Yeah. Guy's still wearing earrings. You should like somebody else. Wanted to pop him in the side of the head, but I couldn't do that or I'd never make it in. Dog had to sit in my bag, make sure there weren't any drugs in it. There weren't. We're here, that's why. But I'm tired of the hate. I'm tired of the BS sort of hate. Like, give me some sort of reason. Give me something.
Well, when you're as good as the Chiefs are, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. That's why it's come down to Taylor Swift ketchup and whatever else people are using for the reason.
Kermit the Frog voice.
Because there's nothing else that you can say about this team. They don't do anything wrong. There's no scandal. They do everything right. And it's they're the coolest guy at school that's nice to everybody, and you hate him because you think you got to hate him. But at the end of the day, you just hate him because you're jealous, and you're not there, and you never will be. And that's ultimately what this comes down to. The entire world just looks at the Chiefs and goes, damn, they're the coolest kid at school that's nice to everybody, that gets the girl, that's friends with the nerds, that's friends with the cool kids, that makes everybody come together and love the world.
What?
And damn, I'm telling you what, man, there's no reason that we can't sit here and root for the Kansas City Chiefs. I have no idea half the stuff you said either. We're all fired up on a Red Friday. So let's get this thing moving. Let's get this thing going forward, and let's kick some Philadelphia ass.
Thanks, Coach, from the text line 660. Mahomes fumbled last week.
Thank you.
They didn't play last week. How you doing? 660. Happy Red Friday. After this, we get back live on Radio Row, brought to you by our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. We'll have Brian Baldinger join the show. Plus, something why I don't think Mahomes can catch Brady this year, even with the three-peat, because records and standings all have to play, but Mahomes has time on his side. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Kansas City Sports.
And now the Chiefs will bring it on an end around to Xavier Worthy at the 20, 15 of the Ravens, 10, 4, touchdown! Kansas City rookie Xavier Worthy on a perfectly executed, well-blocked end around.
Gotta love that. The rookie should make a huge impact on Sunday's game. Thank you, Buffalo. Thank you, Buffalo, once again, for adding to the Chiefs roster. Text line, Dusty, sounds like you had too much jungle juice last night. I don't know what that is. I don't know what jungle juice is.
It's called hurricanes down here in New Orleans, Louisiana. It's called Sazerac down here in New Orleans, Louisiana. They don't have the jungle juice down here.
Had just enough. And not too much. Now, today is a different story. Tomorrow is a different story. And then Sunday is the longest day of your life.
Sunday's going to suck. I'm going to be honest with you. Sunday's really going to suck with that 5:30 kickoff. I was talking to some of our friends over at the Houston station. They're like,
Houston,
what are you going to do on Sunday? I'm like, I don't know, man. It's just going to be like kind of walk around. And, you know, I have no idea how you kill a day at the Super Bowl when you're getting ready to go watch your team and you're on the location from where we are. Obviously, we're going to be working. Hey, we got invited to join the network pregame show. We're going to be down with Mitch and Dana and Josh and Dan and all those guys at 4:30 on Sunday or 4:30 on Sunday afternoon. That's an hour before kickoff. So they got us in prime time. They must think we got something to say. So we're going to be on in prime time an hour before kickoff right here on 96.5 The Fan and, of course, the Chiefs Radio Network throughout the Midwest as well. And so I'm excited for that. I'm excited to get to the stadium, probably get there fairly early because there is going to be a lot of security, obviously, with the NFL being here on top of the president as well being here. And we were kind of talking about it last night, how cool it's going to be inside that dome to be with the president of the United States, the world's greatest pop star, the two world's greatest quarterbacks, the world's greatest coach, the world's greatest tight end, and us. I mean, like, it just doesn't get much cooler than that, right?
The Super Bowl's going to be
played. Oh, that's right. There's going to be a Super Bowl played as well. So it's going to be insane at the Superdome on Sunday. So if you are coming down for the game and you're going to be going to the Superdome on Sunday, I would allow yourself, I don't know, as much time as you possibly can to get there because I do think security is going to be as tight as it's ever been before. And to be in one building with all of those, you know, famous people and all that kind of stuff that's going on is just going to be incredible. I told you, it's the best city for the Super Bowl. And we
were
on
Bradley Cooper will be there.
Yeah, and Sudeikis and Rudd and Stone Street. Like, I mean, like, it's going to be the who's who of the world,
you think,
right?
Caitlin Clark's there?
I don't know. That'd be an interesting one to see.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know what their schedule is.
Well, I don't think they're playing right now.
Are they
off season? I think they're like more of a summer fall league than they are, you know. But again, I don't know. But if you're Caitlin Clark, why wouldn't you want to be at the Super Bowl?
Right.
You might as well come down here and be part of the festivities because everybody else is in the free world. So it's going to be a lot of fun on Sunday. So looking forward to that. But I mean, I don't know what you guys are doing, you know, as you're getting ready for this game and how you're kind of controlling yourself as we get ready for this. But Sunday up until 5:30 is probably going to be the longest stretch that any of us have just waiting for kickoff of this football game.
Bring it on, baby. I'm ready. I think I have some more support as to why. And again, I want to let you guys know, and I want Bob to know this too. I don't think this is a hateful take when I say this, because you're not the only one to say if Mahomes wins a three-peat, does he surpass Tom Brady in the greatest of all time? I don't believe that to be true. And the reason I say that is because Mahomes has so much time. It's not a knock on Patrick Mahomes. It's not saying like, oh, I thought you were a Chiefs guy, Dusty. Like, Mahomes is better. That's not what it is. It's that he still would be three rings behind Tom Brady. Three is a significant number. If it was one, if it was two, maybe I'd have the conversation. It's three, okay? Not only that, Tom Brady played till he was 45. Mahomes is 29. So all of this conversation is fine to have, but you have nothing but time to support Patrick Mahomes. I don't think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be like, oh, I'm going to hang it up early. I'm going to, you know, I've had my fun. I'm going to retire at 33, 34. I don't see that to be true for Patrick Mahomes. The other thing that's interesting is Mac and I were sitting together last night and kind of throwing some stuff around. You know how many losing seasons Tom Brady had in his entire career?
I think two.
One.
One.
You know
okay.
what time it was? His last season?
When
he was 45 years old. He went 8-9 with the Bucs. How many losing seasons do you think Patrick Mahomes will have?
I'm going to say none. I really am. I mean, I think what we've seen out of Patrick Mahomes and the drive that Patrick Mahomes has, and the reason I say none is because you just brought up one, and now Patrick heard that and goes, oh, Tom Brady only had one losing season.
And it was when
I'm
was
not
going to have
one. And,
in the
and it
end
was
of his years.
Yeah, in his last year in his career. So Patrick Mahomes is very aware of history, very aware of the records, very aware of everything around him. And I'm sure, obviously, he's been very aware of this, and it's probably one of those things, you know, that's on his ledger to kind of make him the best of all time. I wish we had a video camera of whatever's going on in front of me right now because I've never seen a child do whatever this child is doing in front of us right now. And it's Mac doing some weird stretches that, I mean, needs to be on camera. Carlos, can we turn the camera to get on Mac here stretching? Please continue to stretch and we're going to put it on camera for everybody to see because it's really, really strange as to what you're doing this morning here on Radio
Even the
Row,
guys
right?
over on the Dallas side are like, what the hell's going on in Kansas City?
What is this guy doing?
To get loose,
here,
man.
Right? Yeah, for what? To sit?
I mean, yeah, what are you going to get loose for?
You know, you're putting your derriere in the face of these guys over here.
I got to rip some takes, Bob.
Yeah, he did. He said, I've been quiet
takes.
This week. I got to rip takes. But no, Patrick Mahomes is aware of everything that is going on around him. And you know, we've been kind of having the conversation all week, greatest of all time, not greatest of all time. And one of our friends, John Stoner, brought it up to me and said, look, he goes, everybody talks about the amount of rings, not the three-peat or anything like that. Ask folks if they think Bill Russell is the greatest NBA player of all time. He has the most rings, right? You can debate that all you want. I just think, in my opinion, doing so, and look, I know Tom Brady has done stuff that's never been done before, yeah, but Patrick Mahomes is really going to do something that's never been done before, and that's again, why I put him above with the three-peat.
And again, like, please stop, people.
So Bill Russell is better than LeBron because he had 8 rings.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
LeBron's 4 are the end-all, be-all.
Again, it's not just about the rings. Tom Brady had 1 losing season, that was 45. Tom Brady played till he was 45. Let Mahomes play a little bit more. I'm not saying that Mahomes cannot be the GOAT. I'm just saying winning a three-peat doesn't catapult him above Tom Brady. Tom Brady had the passing records, his touchdown records, he has longevity. Patrick Mahomes is 29. If anything, the better topic should be winning a three-peat should tell Tom Brady just in general, I'm cooked in a few years. By the time this kid is 35, I am no longer going to be the best. I'm telling you that I believe that Patrick Mahomes in 11 years after this year, if he wins a third in a row, I think that he could probably win 2 or maybe 3 at least in the next 11 years of his career. If he never wins another one, but he wins all these records and he surpasses Tom and all these records and never has a losing season, then yes, I would consider him being better than Tom Brady, but not right now. Not right now. Just enjoy this time and know that your quarterback and your team is the best team in the history of football.
Yep.
I'll give you the team category, but I'm not going to give you the individual because the individual's got so much more time in his career, and that to me is the scariest factor.
I just want to see what's going to happen on Sunday night when the Chiefs do win and how the narrative just continues to be pushed, even when it comes to the team aspect of things. Because I do believe it's not just Patrick Mahomes. I do believe that if they three-peat, they do become the best dynasty, the best team, if you will, of all time because of that three-peat. But I don't know that people are going to allow that to happen, right? The New England
like
narrative continues.
Still not better than Jordan because he doesn't have the rings.
Well, yeah, and I think Jordan ultimately had 2 three-peats in there, right?
Yeah, Jordan
was
better.
Jordan was better than LeBron. I mean, I don't think anybody would ultimately debate that, but it's also a generational thing too, right? Like, yeah, people who are my parents' age and your parents' age may think that just for argument's sake, maybe Bill Russell's the greatest of our time. My generation will always say Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time, and I'm sure Mac's generation will die on the LeBron hill, and that's the way it kind of should be.
Luke,
your generation supports and loves up the players that you saw and the players that you witnessed as a kid. That's when you really become that sports fan. That's when you create your allegiances. That's when you create your mindset, right, of who's the best and who you love. And it's really hard to change all that stuff, as we know. And so that's kind of where we are. And obviously, Tom Brady's my generation, but Patrick Mahomes is also my generation. And I always believe, and so is Joe Montana, my generation. But I think it's safe to say Brady and Mahomes have both passed Joe Montana when it comes to that greatness category. There are only 3 that you can put in that category. 2 will be in the Superdome on Sunday, and 1 has been walking around Radio Row all week doing those interviews. So I think when you look at the situation involving the Chiefs, they go down as the greatest dynasty of all time with a win on Sunday, but I wonder if people will allow them to be that greatest dynasty of all time, because the Patriot thing is still so fresh and so new and so recent in people's minds. I think folks are going to have a hard time going, wow, we're already moving somebody ahead of the New England Patriots. And I think, yeah, that has to be the case. You had the Steelers, you had the Cowboys, you had the 49ers, you had the Patriots, and now you have the Kansas City Chiefs. And you have to accept them as that great dynasty when they win on Sunday afternoon. It will be very interesting to see the debates on Monday and stuff that people are saying after the game, if they are willing to say, yeah, this is now the greatest dynasty of all time.
Yeah, I think that's the take. I think it's unfair to Mahomes to be like, you're now better than Tom Brady. You're not. Like, I'm wearing a Mahomes jersey. I'm a Chiefs fan. I grew up in Kansas City. It's fine to say that. It's okay. Just let the guy keep playing. And then all of a sudden, like, I will say this. Mahomes wins on Sunday. There's no doubt in my mind Tom Brady, like you had mentioned a couple times, will be there announcing it off the record or off the mic. Would probably be like, he's going to get me, isn't he? And Joe Buck's going to look over, not Joe Buck, but whoever.
Kevin Burkhardt.
Kevin Burkhardt's going to look over and go, yeah, it's coming faster than you thought.
And yeah.
He's like, yeah, I didn't think. He goes, I thought when I beat him with Tampa Bay, he'd never have this conversation. We'd never get there. The best part about him winning three-peat is we get to take the lid off that conversation jar and rehash it, because for a while, or for after that Super Bowl against Tampa Bay, everybody goes, all right, that's it. He'll never catch him unless he somehow wins 3 in a row. here we are.
At least Joe Montana had 30 years to enjoy being the greatest of all time before Tom Brady came in from the top rope and pile-drived his ass into history. And now, as soon as Tom Brady retires, here it is, Patrick Mahomes getting ready to pile-drive him into history. Like, Joe Montana had years. Like, there was no debate for a generation that Joe Montana was the greatest of all time. Nobody would touch that argument. Then the Tom Brady thing happened. And, all right, Tom Brady's the greatest of all time for 5 seconds, because here comes Patrick Mahomes from the top rope again, ready to send Tom Brady's career into oblivion, and people will be talking about Tom Brady like it was Joe Montana 35 years ago.
Yeah, no wonder Boston fans are butthurt. They didn't get to really live in this moment of having the GOAT athlete. It lasted 2 seconds, and sorry, the torch has already been passed.
And the Bill Russell thing, they had the GOAT in basketball, obviously, in Boston for a little bit with Bill Russell, but it wasn't the day and age of which sports is today.
Michael Jordan
comes on the scene. Nobody knows who the hell Bill Russell was, and that's fine. He was played in the 60s. Nobody cares about that anymore.
Best player in their franchise's history during Michael Jordan's career.
I mean, seriously, when you think about it, too, Larry Bird, but Magic Johnson. Like, how many people were stymied from winning championships? Patrick Ewing and Isaiah Thomas, a lot of these guys.
Bill Nicholson.
I mean, all of these guys were stymied because of Michael Jordan. How many careers and how many champions are being stymied because of Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs? I mean, that's something that you have to look at as well. Like, the Chiefs just aren't winning. They're preventing Buffalo from winning. They're preventing Josh Allen from winning. They're preventing Joe Burrow from winning.
Well,
they're preventing
not the MVP. Burrow and Allen won awards last night.
Oh, good for them. I don't care. That's great. They're not here. Maybe they were here.
Player of the year, Joe Burrow.
Coming back player of the year. Great.
For
that's
what?
Fantastic.
What did he come back from?
I don't know. An injury?
Know.
Was he hurt? Was last year the year that he was hurt?
For like six games?
Yeah.
Well, I mean.
What's he coming back from?
I have no idea. Injury for six games? Fine. Whatever. He's not here at the Super Bowl.
Seriously, ask you. What did he come back from?
He was out for six games, I guess. I don't know. Who else is going to get comeback player of the year?
Isaiah Pacheco's going to win it next year? Rashee Rice is going to win it next year?
No, because they play it at the end of the season. Rashee Rice could win it next year. Absolutely. Rashee Rice could win it next year.
1,000 yards, mark it, book it.
Yeah.
Rashee Rice.
Yeah. Rashee Rice puts on a good show next year. Who the hell cares about those awards?
They're
minuscule. They're meaningless. They don't matter, because what matters is what's going to happen on Sunday, and none of those people are participating in what's going to happen on Sunday. And so that's what's happening with Patrick Mahomes. He's preventing so many other players from getting their opportunity to win championships. Tom Brady had 10 years where he allowed Eli to get a couple of championships. Only four guys got into the Hall of Fame. Jared Allen and three others. Yeah, congratulations to whoever made it in to the Hall of Fame. Torrey Holt's not getting into the Hall of Fame again.
Never.
That's a scam. That is an absolute scam that Torrey Holt's not in the Hall of Fame. It's embarrassing that standpoint. But congratulations to Jared Allen on getting in. I think that's really cool. Another member of the Chiefs organization.
I love the thanks, coach, people. I said, does he go in as a Viking or a Chief? That ain't how it works, dog. Football was the response I got.
Yeah, thanks, you don't go in as anybody in
the
NFL.
Sorry to have a conversation.
Just have a bust up there, and they list all your teams. Baseball, they choose the cap for you. But
do you think you would go in as a Chief or a Viking?
I don't know. I have no idea, because it's not a topic, I guess, so I don't know. But I think probably Viking, because he played there longer, I would guess.
Yeah, he had the 22 sack season there.
Yeah.
That's where I'd go.
Yeah, probably a Viking, I'd have to say. But, he's still a member of the Chiefs. So that's cool, because everybody that played for you goes in and your name is recognized with the teams that you played for. So I do like that a lot. But here we sit, because Patrick Mahomes, again, to kind of get back to this thing, he's preventing so many other people from winning championships and even having the opportunity to play in the Super Bowl, because that's how good he's been. 7 straight AFC championship games, 4 Super Bowls in the last 5 years. Magical numbers that Mahomes is putting up.
We are broadcasting live from Radio Row in New Orleans, thanks to our friends at Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. It's easy to drink. It's easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. And our guests are also brought to you by Bud Light, as well, the official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. Going for their three-peat, we are now joined by Brian Baldinger. And Brian Baldinger, who sits down with us, I will say this. How the hell are you?
I'm good. I'm really good. This is my finish line. You know, we all started together. You're out there at training camp. I'm at training camp.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. I felt like I've worked just about every day, except for the last 3 days I was in Costa Rica. But anyways, must be nice.
How do you go to Costa Rica during Super Bowl week? It's like coaching a basketball team and being on Radio Row.
I was in Mobile going, I need a break.
Yeah.
So, there's nothing going on. I saw the guys at the Senior Bowl.
Yep.
I'm like, I don't need to watch it.
Right.
Let's go do some surfing and some fishing and some diving and just freshen up for this event.
What did the Chiefs do for you?
What did the Chiefs do for me? I love the Chiefs. Both my brothers played for the Chiefs. I knew Andy Reid since the day he signed in Philly. I was at his opening press conference, met him that day, did a lot of games at Fox when Andy was at Philly. I felt like I've known Andy. I did the Eagles preseason games back when Andy was there. You know, so I feel a connection to both organizations. But, you know, it's hard not to be a super fan of Patrick, but Creed, Trey, you know, Chris Jones, you know, pick a guy. You know, Karlaftis. I mean, they're just good guys. They're great players, good guys. I coached I did games over in NFL Europe when Spags was coaching in Frankfurt. You know, I knew Spags before anybody else knew Spags. When he was out of football for a year, he spent every Monday. His wife, he was living in Philly, he'd come over to NFL Films every Monday. I still have his cover three, you know, glossy thing on a whiteboard over there.
Yeah.
You know, so it's hard not to love everything about what Kansas City stands for.
Well, let's get that offensive line conversation going, because I know how big you are, obviously, you know, looking at the big guys down below there, right? Everybody's talking about Jalen Carter, and I said the other day on the show, I'm like, Trey Smith's going to have something to say about this. He's about to be the highest-paid guard probably this offseason for somebody. I want you to tell me why you think Trey Smith can win that matchup against Jalen Carter.
Well, I mean, first of all, you know, he's built for it. Physically, he's built for it. You know, he's the alpha dog up front on that offensive line, has been since the day he got there. Physically, I think they've already played against each other last year, not a lot. Jalen was more on the other side against, you know, on the left guard. But I just think that if you want to send Creed over there to help out, fine. But if they got to slide to protection the other way because that's what it's called for, I know Trey can handle it. You know, he's got a howitzer for right hand. Patrick Mahomes told me that literally his rookie year. During training camp, he told me that. And he's delivered. So he likes to finish what he starts. And he knows what Jalen Carter is and how physically strong he is and gifted, but that's a good matchup. It's, you know, I would pay StubHub prices, inflated StubHub prices, just to watch that matchup. If you could do what they do, you know, in Premier League soccer, and watch a picture-in-picture of those two going at it, I would do it. And Jalen Carter plays, I believe, more snaps than anybody else at defense tackle in this league. So you're going to see a whole lot of it right there.
So let's talk about the guys in the red. They got a pretty good running back in Saquon Barkley. How do you stop Saquon Barkley if you're the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, you can't let him get started, number one. That's pretty obvious. I think that you'll see all three linebackers out there a lot, Drew and Nick and Leo. And you'll see Reed up front. You'll see some level of a 4-4 box. You know, what they did to Baltimore in the AFC Championship game, what they did to Baltimore in the opening game of the season. You're going to see those big linebackers out there just attacking the line of scrimmage, whether it's run blitzes or whatever. So, I mean, that's sort of the foundation to not let him get started. And, you know, the big runs are there if you give him enough opportunities. And so you want to sort of take those away from him.
You know, looking at the quarterback matchup, obviously favors Patrick Mahomes. It does in every game that Patrick Mahomes plays in. And I've been asking people all week, and I'm surprised about how much resistance I'm getting to this one, though. I think he's the greatest if he three-peats. What do you think?
Well, I mean, there's Tom Brady out there, and it's hard to say that he's Tom Brady at this point. But, you know, he's only 8 years into this thing, you know. I mean, and there's no slowing down.
Right.
So I don't know, but, I mean, you three-peat, you've already created a legacy. Nobody has ever done that.
Right.
So you've already got a legacy that's different than Tom Brady. And so you three-peat this thing, and immediately, you know, they're going to go – somebody's going to go print four-peat, you know, and get the license on that thing if they win this on Sunday. They're going to talk about it in up there on the stage. So Terry Bradshaw is going to ask them about it if they win. So I feel like Patrick has done it differently than Tom Brady. I mean, he's a lot more mobile, and he's done it with a lot different – you know, I think a cast that's a little bit different than what Brady did in the way that he did it. But I feel like his legacy is going to be unique no matter what happens.
It seems like no matter what they do, though, people are going to continue to push the bar and continue to try to say it's not quite New England yet. Like, in your mind, what do they have to do to become the greatest dynasty?
Well, I mean, this would be the start. I mean, winning Sunday is really where it starts. You take care of business this Sunday, and you're at – 5 Super Bowls in 4 years and three-peat and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're right there. So they've got a dynasty right now as it is. And here they are, AFC championship games, 8 in a row, division championships. I mean, you know, you're doing something that nobody might ever do again. You know, this might be just painting a masterpiece that nobody might ever duplicate. So they look like they're having just the same amount of fun doing it. you know?
Yeah. Speaking of a masterpiece, you're the lineman expertise here. How impressive is it to watch Joe Tooney go from left guard to left tackle and be elite at left tackle and keep the line moving, no pun intended?
Look, his first matchup was against Myles Garrett.
That's right.
And in Cleveland, mm-hmm. on the road in Cleveland. And he pitched a shutout. It's like I've been that guy where I had to go from guard to tackle, and I look like a guard playing tackle the way Joe does. But it just goes to show you the level of technician that he is. Because you can't do what he's doing without being the ultimate technician. You got to change your sets. You got to change your stance. You got to do things differently than what you did at left guard. And there's a comfort level that probably isn't there that he had at left guard. Creed next to him. But it was the best thing for the team. So I have the ultimate respect for him. And he's going to see good pass rushers out there on Sunday, mm-hmm. Starting with Josh Sweat. So he's going to get challenged. They don't generally give – Andy is always like getting five receivers out. They generally don't like to chip and help and things that – so he stood tall out there. And it's been, it's been really impressive. And I know that the offensive line doesn't get enough credit, but I got to believe that Pat Mahomes knows just how valuable he's been.
And really, what's more impressive, that move or the fact that he's the fifth left tackle this year and the Chiefs went 15-1 with their starters?
Well, they have a lot fewer sacks, a lot fewer penalties
mm-hmm.
than the other guys that were out there.
Right.
And so they gave everybody a good long chance.
Yes, they did.
You know, and at some point you just go, this is not helping the offense. You know, the penalties, putting us in bad situations, we got to fix this. And so it was the last resort.
Let us know how you think this game can be played out. I know that there's ties and there's legacy greatness. There's a three-peat on the line. What does Brian Baldinger, who joins us here on Fesco and Dusty, think about this game?
Well, I said, and no offense to all of my good friends in Kansas
City. That means you're about to offend us.
Well, yeah, but I said from the start of the playoffs, I thought the Eagles would go 4-0 in the playoffs. Now, I didn't know that they were going to see Kansas City. Probably a good chance that, you know, they were going to be there, but who knows. But I thought they were the best team in football. In the trenches, I thought they were the best team, start to finish, and they just got better and better in the trenches. And so, you know, and then you see the evolution of Saquon in this offense and running it 725 times. I'm a fan of teams that run it 725 times in a season. Only two other teams have done that. So I'm a fan of that type of football. So you turn it over a lot less. Jalen Hurts is taking care of the football. We'll see what happens. They can't really fall behind and maintain that style of football. But I feel like that's the direction this game is going.
All right. Well, we appreciate the time, Brian Baldinger, who joins us here on Fesco yep. and Dusty. Take care, man.
Yep.
And enjoy the big game. Thank you.
Brian Baldinger with us here on Fesco and Dusty. And I looked at Mac as Baldy was saying that they ran the ball 725 times. I go, that just screams the Philadelphia Eagles are going to try to throw the football,
throw
right? That's the head coach who is kind of new on the scene, isn't Andy Reid? You ran it for 725 yards. You think, oh, my God, they're going to try to stack the box against the run. Let's throw the football. And then you get in trouble throwing the football, and it doesn't spell a victory for Philadelphia.
And that was Brian Baldinger, and all our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is gearing up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during this historic run. Coming up on the other side, Diana Rossini will join us. Plus, you can also join us and watch the show on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Twitch, presented by our partners at Technology Group Solutions, the official IT provider on your Kansas City Chiefs or of your Kansas City Chiefs. But coming up next, Diana Rossini of NFL Network will sit down and join us, Fesco and Bob, Dusty, Fesco and Mac, here at 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. Okay, we are live, broadcasting from Radio Row here in New Orleans. Thanks to our friends at Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Drink responsibly. Don't forget, at 7:45, you have a chance to be the final qualifier for a $500 Hy-Vee gift card giveaway. So you'll want to listen to the quote or the clip that Nathan will play at 7:45 and then guess that year. And then there will be a drawing, and you and four other people who have qualified for that will win $500 to Hy-Vee. But it is the last Red Friday of the year. It is National Wear Red Day. And we are the final day here live at Radio Row. Been a hell of a week. Been a lot of fun. Been a great time to engage with you guys here in Louisiana, back home in Kansas City.
We're ready to get home, but before we do that, we got a pretty big game to play on Sunday.
Pretty big one, yes. The biggest game that we have ever seen in the history of games. And I'm not over-exaggerating that because of what is at stake with the Chiefs, what's at stake with the Eagles, what's at stake for history, what's at stake for the NFL. And, you know, it's just, it is the biggest Super Bowl, I believe, that we've ever seen, because history has never been on the line like it's going to be on Sunday afternoon down at the Superdome.
So, again, thanks to our friends at Bud Light for being the sponsor, and all of our guests that for that are brought to you by Bud Light. Again, the official beer sponsor of your Kansas City Chiefs. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. And now sitting down with us and joining us is the wonderful Diana Rossini. And Diana, New Orleans, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, you're not sharing the philosophy I had about New Orleans, which is you don't have to chase the fun here.
No. Right.
You know, usually you come to these events and everyone is trying to find out where the big parties are, where the DJs are playing, what the live bands are. In New Orleans, just walk across the street. You know, it's yep. it's everywhere. Yep. And, you know, I've covered, this is my 11th Super Bowl, and this is easily my favorite city for the food, the logistics, and It's picking up now. You know, we know it's Thursday, but this thing is going to get moving.
It really is. And it is the best Super Bowl city. I've done Miami. I've done New Orleans. There was that run of Houston and Jacksonville that kind of stunk up the joint in Detroit and places like that in the early 2000s. But this is the best place to do the Super Bowl. And I don't care what anybody else wants to say. Try to debate it. Nothing's better than New Orleans.
I've been trying to do a decent job, I think, of explaining to people who aren't here, because I've had family members texting me, like, you keep saying how great New Orleans is. Why? What is it? And I said, it's just all of it. It's like, my analogy is like when you go to a good restaurant and the food just blows you away and you're like, this is just the way it's supposed to be.
Yep.
That's how I feel about this experience. This is the way it's supposed to be when you're at a Super Bowl, with the energy, the culture, and the vibe.
We talked the other night about how we want to see greatness and how you just want people to shut up and beat them if you have a problem with them. Still the same theory, still the same kind of vibe, the attitude with that when it comes to the Chiefs and the national narrative?
I can't stand it. It bothers me so much when I see coaches and players talking about it and just making these little theories, or people on Twitter, that this is the only reason why Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs have success. You just can't beat them. Find a way.
Right.
I had Fred Warner, the great Fred Warner, on the show today, and I asked him to give me the defensive game plan to stop this Chiefs offense. And he struggled a bit. And you know Fred's smart. And he's thought about it before. He's had to. And he's like, the priority is always to contain Patrick and not let him win the game. But he just does it. And you know, listening to him share that, I just wonder what the Eagles have up their sleeve here to try to figure out a way to stop them.
It's interesting you say that, because on Monday at Media Day, I asked C.J. Gardner-Johnson, how do you stop Patrick Mahomes? And I did time it. 3.8 seconds of silence.
This is what I'm saying.
And then he's like, I guess just play football. So I don't know if that's like, I don't have an answer for that, or we got something planned, or what the case may be. But it seems like everybody's kind of being very cautious when they get asked that question about Mahomes. It's like, I better think about what I say before I say
it. Yeah, I've spoken to defensive coordinators around the league for years about this. And I don't – with maybe Lou Anarumo was the closest to having an idea of how to slow it down. I still don't think the word stop has been figured out. And it's why we continually see him find ways to win until he gets figured out, which that may never happen.
Right. And when you look at this game and you think about the legacy that can be cited for Jalen Hurts, I think if Jalen Hurts wins this game, you're putting him in that where Russell Wilson got when he won a first one. That not necessarily like – I think the word elite has been diluted a little bit. I think there's probably five elite quarterbacks in this league, but he's knocking on the door. Like, if he wins one, like, it's a big stage for Jalen Hurts more than I think it is for a three-peat for Patrick Mahomes.
I think so as well. And truthfully, at the beginning of the season, it was hard for me to imagine that we'd be having a conversation about Jalen Hurts at this point. To me, just my own observation, having conversations with people around the league of how he's viewed, he's good.
Mm-hmm.
Not great. Mm-hmm. But after this season and finding ways and really, I think, getting on the same page with Nick Sirianni, they're still sorting it out here, as we've seen. But after this NFC Championship game, this to me was the absolute best version of Jalen. And they say, when you're playing your best football this time of year, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. So I just think for Jalen, he certainly starts something pretty special, getting back to the Super Bowl and able to stop the Kansas City Chiefs from three-peating and making history, yeah, that's something that's pretty wild.
I don't normally say nice things about Philadelphia. I grew up in North Jersey, so liking Philadelphia of anything is, like, very ugh for me. But I feel like I've been a Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni apologist for the last 2 weeks because two of the last three years, they're in the Super Bowl, and yet people want to say he's no good as a head coach, he's no good as a quarterback. And I say, but they've been to two of the last three Super Bowls. You got to start giving them their flowers a little bit, right?
Well, two things. One, what part of North Jersey are you from?
Morse County, Randolph. Morse County. Yeah.
I live in Bergen County now.
Okay, nice.
And I'm with you. Philly, it's just not our thing, right?
Right.
Like when you're, which is funny because we're so close to them, but we're different species is how I describe it. And the way I view, I'm really hard on Nick Sirianni, and I have been all season when I've talked about him, because to me, the great coaches have high emotional intelligence and maturity. And I just felt that there were just so many moments this past year, early on in the season, where I just thought this isn't the right fit.
Mm-hmm.
But what I've come to realize is Nick Sirianni is actually the best head coach for this Eagles team. You know, I don't think Nick Sirianni in Dallas, Nick Sirianni in Seattle works. But Nick Sirianni with this Philadelphia team, with these guys, with this kind of talent, this kind of character, it works because these guys love him. They do. I've been around him a lot. I've been in the locker room. I just think his style, I haven't covered a lot of coaches that have his type of coaching style that have had success. But he's been able to do it.
Right.
He's won like 70% of his.
It's nuts. Yeah,
the stats are incredible at what he's been able to do. And obviously, he's also got Saquon Barkley to thank for that.
Diana, you're a busy lady. We appreciate the time. Diana Rossini with us right now. Before we get you out of here, you're wearing your Chiefs colors, so we appreciate that.
Love it.
For those of you that can't see her, red pants, black shirt. She's all ready to do this. How do you see Sunday's game going? And also, if you ever need a big Dom, I'll give you my number.
I do need a big Dom, so I appreciate that.
Sorry, Bob, I'm out of here.
Fine. You're going to go make more money doing that.
I've asked Big Dom to help me. By the way, anyone could go to Big Dom and he'd help.
You just call me Big Dust. Even that sounds weird to say, but if you ever said that, we'd cut it. It would just go on our radio show.
All right, let's do it. Gosh, I have a bodyguard. I don't really need one, so.
Darn it.
I need an assistant.
Shoot your shot, they
say. You want to help me organize my stuff?
No, that would not be good for him.
I need a
Manny. He can't organize himself.
I need a Manny. I got a
hey, I'm a great Manny. I'll tell you that much.
Help them.
Great Manny.
They bite each other a lot.
Fantastic. Kids are great. Wait, they become 14 and 15, and they don't even know you're out of town.
I can't wait because they're screaming, crying, mommy, come home. I can't. And my husband's done. We've hit that point. Because I've been here since Sunday.
Yeah.
So it's, what, Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Done.
We don't know. No, but wait. You got a couple more years, and then it gets.
So what's going to happen Sunday?
The Philadelphia Eagles are going to push this Chiefs team to keep up with them offensively. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. This is going to be the first time this season that we're going to have to see Patrick and this offense keep up. Because the Eagles are going to come out on fire and fast. Because they know they got to play from ahead. And when I say they know that, when you look back at their season and the games that they've won, very rarely are they starting off not scoring first. So I just think they're going to test the Chiefs and test Patrick, which sounds ridiculous. But this season, we just haven't seen the offense score that much. So that's what I think is going to be the factor in terms of how Kansas City is going to be able to pull this off. And I think they'll be able to do it, too.
Well, Diana Rossini, we appreciate the time. This is Bob Fesco, your future Manny, Dusty Likens. We appreciate the time, Diana. Thank you so much.
Big Dust!
That's right, Big Dust.
Guys, thank you
Thanks,
so much.
Diana.
That was Diana Rossini, and all of our guests are brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Kansas City is geared up for their third straight title, and Academy Sports and Outdoors has everything you need to rep your team during their historic run. Thanks to Diana Rossini for joining us over here on Radio Row, which we are broadcasting live from Radio Row, thanks to our friends at Bud Light. Easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Please drink responsibly. Got a lot of guests coming up. We got Mitch Holtis at 7:15 or 7:25. We've got Dan Orlovsky, possibly John Gruden, Mark Donovan, president of the Chiefs, all join us in big game coverage on 96.5. The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union, member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at communityamerica.com. Don't forget, we will still get into the script, but coming up on the other side, Frank Clark, Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens, all here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports.